All right, praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Love Wednesday nights. Amen. And what a joy it is to get together and just celebrate the power of God. I'm excited about Resurrection Sunday. In fact, it's coming very soon. Of course, every Sunday is Resurrection Week. Have you noticed that Sunday's the beginning of a new week every time? It's Resurrection. Amen. I have a message tonight that I believe will strengthen you, help you in your walk with the Lord. I'll be speaking out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. And we'll begin reading about the death of King Uzziah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train or his glory filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain they covered their face, and with twain he covered his feet. With twain or two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke or glory. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I want to draw your attention to verse 3. The last sentence of this verse, the whole earth is full of God's glory. I want to use for a subject tonight, God can take the glory. You may be seated. God can take the glory. When I think about all the things that the Lord has done, and I look at this beautiful vision that Isaiah had, in fact, this is the beginning of Isaiah's call as a prophet. This is the start of Isaiah's ministry as a prophet. And he says it began by something horrific. King Uzziah died. And Isaiah was more than likely a very close friend to King Uzziah. And when Uzziah died, it just literally floored Isaiah, just devastated Isaiah. But he said, at the time I saw King Uzziah die, he said, I also saw another throne. Uzziah died and left his throne, and Isaiah says, at the same time, I saw another throne. And this throne was not like Uzziah's. This throne was high and lifted up. And high above the atmosphere, high above time and space, high above all creation. And he said upon that throne was Almighty God. The Bible says that the seraphims begin to sweep back and forth in the atmosphere around Jehovah. And the Bible says above that throne. In fact, the scripture says that he saw that throne high, and he that was sitting on it high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The glory of God filled the temple of God. And that's what we need today. We need the glory of God to fill the temple of God. And the Bible says that when the glory of God filled the temple, that above it stood the seraphims, another beautiful creature, angelic creature. And these angelic creatures had six wings. Two of those wings covered their face, and two of those wings covered their feet. And with two wings they did fly. And they're flying around the throne of God. And they're crying to each other. They're shouting to each other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now notice they're not crying holy to God. They're crying holy to each other. They're shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And that's what we need to start doing more often. We need to cry holy to each other. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the house of the Lord. Holy is the word of God. We need to get holy back in the church. Amen. We need to get the holy presence of God back in the church, and we need to talk about it. We need to rejoice in the glory of God. And the Bible says the whole earth is full of his glory. When they shouted out to each other, the seraphims, the post of the door moved with the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke or the glory of God. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with dirty lips as well, unclean. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a burning, a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from off the with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. Boy, I bet that hurt. And said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity has been taken away, thy sin purged, literally burned out by the sacrifice from off the altar. When Jesus Christ came into my heart, he literally burned out my old life, burned out the sin of my life. And Jesus Christ began to burn and sizzle in my life, and there's a flame in my soul. God sweeps through my life, and he sweeps through your life, changing your life from day to day. God can take the glory. I think about that in our text verse 3. The whole earth is filled with his glory. You can look at a field of flowers, and God would say, I did that. You can look at a rainbow after a rainy, stormy, rainy season, with the sun shining and the rainbow stretched from east to west. And God can say, I did that. Look at the clouds in the sky, like fluffy cotton balls. And God would say, I did that. He caused the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. And the moon follows behind the sun, and the sun travels across the sky, and God says, I did that. You look up at night and see the stars, and you cannot even begin to count them, and God says, I did that. See, God takes the glory. He's worthy of the glory. And God takes the glory for life. When he made Adam and Eve, God would take the glory. I did that. When God created a Garden of Eden, he takes the glory. I did that. When he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary, the Father said, I did that. My boy did that. My son did that. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross and for the sins of the world, God takes the glory. He takes the glory of the pierced hands. He takes the glory of the pierced side. He takes the glory of the agonizing on the cross of Calvary. God takes the glory of his son that came to redeem us from our sin and rescue us from our darkness, sin, and shame. God takes the glory for the wonderful blood and the blessing of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins and redeeming us from the sins. God takes the glory. God takes the glory. glory when we're redeemed from our sin and we're ready to go to heaven. God takes the glory when he gives us life and joy and peace in our soul. He takes the glory. He's worthy of the glory. He takes the glory. And when Jesus Christ went to the tomb, man did that, crucified the Son of God. But Jesus Christ arose from the grave, breaking the powers of death, hell, and the grave, and God takes the glory. I broke death, hell, and the grave. I shattered the powers of darkness and raised my Son from the grave. God takes the glory. As Isaiah sees Uzziah and he sees that he dies, at the time he dies, it devastates Isaiah. He's broken. The country of Judah was at shambles because this great warrior, Uzziah, had fallen into a time of pride in which he was enveloped in leprosy. Uzziah the king died as a leper. And I want you to understand something tonight. When you look at this, and you look at this chapter 6, Isaiah was so attached to Uzziah. And he was so heartbroken. I want to say to you that's heartbroken, just look a little higher. You that is troubled tonight, just look a little higher. The throne of your life has maybe died. The throne of your life is maybe like Uzziah dies. He said, I saw when Uzziah died, the throne high and lifted up. There was still a king of kings that sit on the throne. There was still a God that ruled the universe. Still, Uzziah died, but Moses died. Joshua died. Gideon died. All the patriarchs died. Abraham died. All the prophets of the past. Elijah died. Well, he didn't die. He was taken up. Elisha died, and his bones full of power. And so we see that even when everything is at ground level, a mess, look up. Look up. Isaiah said, I saw another throne. It wasn't the throne of Judah. It's the throne of God. And I saw him that sat on that throne, and his glory filled the temple, and not only filled the temple, but it overflowed around the whole earth, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. I saw the angels, the seraphims, flying to the heaven, crying to each other, holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Holy Ghost. And I saw them flying to the heaven, crying out to each other, God is holy. He's not only holy, but God is powerful. He's not only powerful, but God is God. And he answers to no one. God can do anything. God is spectacular. God is our Savior. God is our Creator. We need to cry, holy. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen. God takes the glory. He can take the glory for everything. When you stop and think about it in the Garden of Eden, the beautiful trees, the beautiful crystal clear waters, God takes the glory. And God would say, I did that. But when you look at sickness and disease and thorns and rubble and famine and starvation, God would say, man did that. Man did that. No, I'm not saying that any certain man did that. Mankind has done this as well as womankind. And there's no kind like a womankind. Hello. God can take the glory. I'm glad today that God can take credit for my eternal life. God can take credit and glory for my salvation. I'm glad that I can say God can take credit for my future. to live with him forever and ever. God can take credit for the empty tomb that Jesus Christ vacated so that you and I one day can vacate that tomb as well. We can live in the perfect blessing of God. So we see that God can take the glory. But don't abuse or steal God's glory. See, Uzziah died a leper. And someone will say, why did he die a leper? He died a leper because he got too big for his britches. He was a powerful king. You can read the story about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. You can read about what Uzziah did and how he was so powerful. Look at verse 16. But when he was strong, this is Uzziah, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 fighting priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense. It's not your place to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron that are consecrated, set apart to burn incense. Go out from the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out, and he ran along with them. He was terrified. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him with leprosy. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. In other words, they didn't bury Uzziah with the tombs of the kings. They buried him in the fields that the king owned because he was a leper. And for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. I want to point out something that is very important. Sometimes we get too comfortable with the things of God. Sometimes we go places where we shouldn't go. Sometimes we, to put it in our vernacular today, we get to fill in our Cheerios or Popeye Spinnies. We get to feeling like we should be in places that God has not called us to be. Uzziah was an incredible king. He was so incredible, the Bible says that because he was so strong, verse 15 says, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. What happened was, is Uzziah decided that he could take the place of the priest. Verse 12 of this chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles says that he had a number of chief fathers of the mighty men, valor, 2,600. In other words, he had 2,600 valiant, mighty men. And these 2,600 mighty men orchestrated and led under their rule like generals an army that was as big as 307,500 soldiers. Uzziah had also prepared throughout all the host shields, spears, helmets, harbans, that is a breastplate, bows and slings to catch stones, and made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers upon the bulwark walks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. In other words, he was the most spectacular king of his day. He had the army. He had the might. He had the power. He had the riches. He had the health. He was an incredible king. A good king, by the way. But he got to feeling like he could do God's business and do things that he wasn't called to be. He was called to be a king, not a priest. There was only one person that was called to be a priest, king, and prophet, and his name is Jesus Christ. But Uzziah began to think that he could be the high priest. And so he gets him a censer, and he puts incense in it, and he's going to go into the temple, and he's going to offer a sacrifice to the Jehovah, to God. And while he goes in there to offer this incense before the incense altar, he's going in there to offer a sacrifice, going in there to take the place of Azariah, the high priest. And because he was out of line, his pride was lifted up. He felt like he could do things that God didn't call him to do. God called him to be a king, not a priest. Azariah the priest went in after him, not alone. 80 more men with him, priests that were strong and fighters. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "This is none of your business. Get out of the sanctuary. Go away." And it made Uzziah so angry that he pushed through. He was abusive to the priest. He pushed himself into the holy veil of God. At the veil was the incense altar. The incense of altar, the altar of incense was at the veil. And behind that veil was our dreadful God, our King, our Jehovah. Now, it's interesting that Uzziah's birth name, his birth name was Azariah, the same as the priest's name. That's found in the 14th chapter and the 15th chapter of 2 Kings. Uzziah's birth name was the same as the priest's name, Azariah. But his kingly name, his name for the throne, was Uzziah. And so Uzziah pushes in. We're told in historians by Joseph the historian, tells us that when he came to the altar of incense, that a ray of God's holiness came through the veil and lit upon King Uzziah, and he became a leper. God smote him with leprosy because he decided to steal or abuse the glory of God. Josephus says also at this time, there was an earthquake in the time of Uzziah. It's found in Amos chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of the Tekoa. Tekoa was 10 miles in the Judean wilderness, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the days of Jeroboam, the king of Joash, king of Israel. 2 years before the earthquake. So we're told in Amos chapter 1, verse 1, there was an earthquake. Whether that earthquake was at the time of Uzziah's death, when the temple was shaken, or whether that earthquake was at the time of God's judgment upon Uzziah, we know not. But we know in the time of Uzziah, there was a massive earthquake. And we know that Uzziah was smitten with leprosy and he died being a leper because he tried to steal and manipulate and mess with the glory of God. I hate to say this, but there are preachers that get so high and mighty, they mess with the glory of God, which they have no business messing with. I hate to say this, but there are people, not just preachers, but there are Christians that get so comfortable with the Word of God and so comfortable with their walk of God that they abuse the glory of God. And many times they take credit for things they have no business taking credit for and getting involved with things they have no business getting involved with. And that's what Uzziah did. And he got involved, whether it was because his name, Azariah, was the same as the high priest, and he was getting confused with that, and he got involved with that. I don't know. But I know this. Don't get so comfortable with God's grace. Don't get so comfortable with God's glory that you begin to do things because you think you're strong that will bring discredit and problems to the glory of God. Don't put yourself in places you do not belong. God takes the glory. God can take the glory. Did you hear me? God takes the glory. God deserves the glory. But when people try to involve themselves in the glory of God and take credit for maybe a healing, take credit for maybe a miracle, take credit for maybe some great thing in their life, Uzziah took credit for what he had done, and he did do great things, but then he decided that he would step into God, the God zone. And when you step into the God zone, you're in trouble. Now, I want to live in the God zone, but I don't want to step in it in pride. I want to live in the God zone, but I don't want to step in it in irreverence. The Bible says that when Solomon built the temple, he stated very clearly, watch your step when you enter into the house of the Lord. Watch your step as you go up into the house of the Lord. Watch your walk as you go up in the house of the Lord. And the archaeologists have already unveiled the steps going up to the Temple Mount that Solomon made. Did you know Solomon made the steps different sizes? He made one step high, one step low, one step high, one step low, one step long, one step short. You know why he did that? To slow you down. To slow people down. That's why he did it. Watch your step going up to the house of the Lord. Trust me, I'm at the age now, I don't need no help slowing down. Maybe speeding up, but not slowing down. And you that's laughing at me, your day's coming. Amen, your day's coming. If it ain't already here, your day's coming. We are told in the 14th chapter, 15th chapter of 2 Kings that Isaiah's name was Azariah, same as the high priest, and that may have had some bearing on what he did. But when you get filled with pride, and Uzziah was an incredible king, and he stepped into a place he had no need, no reason stepping into. And let me tell you, friends, when you step into God's place, when you go where you don't belong, as Uzziah went where he didn't belong, you go into the place of God's glory, you will ruin and you will die with a horrible mark on your life. Uzziah died a leper. That doesn't mean Uzziah didn't go to heaven. He did. Uzziah went to heaven. But because he tried to do something he wasn't called to do, he lost what he was called to do. His son took his place. Isaiah was heartbroken over it. God can take the glory. When I get to heaven, God will take the glory. Amen. And when we walk the streets of glory, the streets of gold, God will take the glory. No one will stand on the streets of glory and say, I'm here because I was faithful to church. I was here. Trust me, nobody in this room can do that. No one will stand on the streets of gold or the sea of glass and say, I'm here because I endured to the end. No, you didn't. Jesus endured in you to the end. No one will ever stand in the presence of God and say, I'm here because I did this, I did that. No, you cannot take the glory of God. God takes the glory. Hands down, God takes the glory for my salvation. God takes the glory for my forgiveness. God takes the glory for my future. God takes the glory for my new life in Christ. God takes the glory for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God takes the glory for the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God takes the glory, and God will take us home one day and we'll give him all the glory. The outline is simple. God can take the glory. By the way, he can take it away too. God takes the glory. Number two, don't abuse or steal God's glory. Don't abuse or mess with God's grace or his glory. Number three, God give God glory. See, God can take the glory. God takes the glory for the creation of man. God takes the glory for the universe. The whole earth is full of his glory. God takes the glory. He receives the glory. It's his. He claims the glory. God takes the glory. Hands down, God takes the glory. It's his. It's his glory. It's his power. It's his life. It's his love. It's history. We're here today because him. He is the God of life. We sit in this room because God has touched down in our heart. He has given us breath, heartbeat. We are alive because of God. God takes the glory for our life. And don't abuse or steal that God's glory. Don't ever get raised up with so much pride. See, God can take the glory because it's his to take. Everything out there, God says, I did that, except for the corruption, and man did that. But God takes the glory. And we can abuse the glory if we're not careful. So God can take his glory and say, I did that, it's mine. I take the glory. I take full responsibility for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I take the glory. But see, God doesn't want just to take the glory. He wants you to give him glory. Woo! God wants you and I to give him glory. When we pray, we give him glory. Hello? Don't just put glory in your prayer. Don't just praise God for glory in your prayer. Make your prayer glory to God. Give God praise. Honor God. Respect your God. Call out to God. Give God glory. Give God glory for the life you live. Give God glory for the children you have. Give God glory for the life that's in your body. Give God glory for the salvation of your soul. Give God glory for the air you breathe. Give God glory for the food you eat. Give God glory for the hope of a future. Give God glory for everything you have. Give him glory. And if we give God glory for everything, it will pretty much eliminate the possibility of us taking God's glory and abusing it, if we'll give God glory. But when people start bragging about themselves, they're about to do something that robs God of his grace and his glory. Amen? I can't even brag about the fact that I love Jesus, because I wouldn't love him unless he first loved me. I can't brag about being saved. I can't brag about going down an old-fashioned altar and asking Jesus Christ. I can't even brag about that, because I wouldn't have came if God the Father didn't put a hook in my jaw and draw me to Jesus Christ. I have no claim on God's glory. I'm in God's hand, and He can do with me as He pleases. And He doesn't need my permission. God doesn't need my permission. If He were to take me home tonight, He doesn't need my permission. God doesn't need my permission how long I live, how old I'll be. He doesn't need my permission. I'm going to give God glory. I give God glory. Amen? I give God glory because I got out of bed this morning. I give God glory, and I give Judy credit. She kicked me out. But anyway, I got out of bed this morning. I give God glory. Amen? We need to live a life of, our whole life needs to be a life of glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! The whole earth is filled with His glory. One day, our loved ones that's gone on before us, one day, they'll come out of the grave. They're with Him now. They sleep down here, but they're awake up there. They're with Jesus now, those that's left us and went home to be with the Lord. But when Jesus Christ comes back to get us, it's not going to be glory be me. It's going to be glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You're not going to crawl on the sea of glass and say, oh, I just barely made it. Trust me, you wouldn't have made it at all, not even barely make it, if it wasn't for God's glory. Amen? Yeah, well, God took one look at me and saw I was cute and decided to take me to heaven. Trust me, you're not that pretty. God decided I'm a good person. I'm nice and I'll help everybody and I'm a pretty good person. I get to go to heaven. Trust me, you're not as good as you think you are. Trust me. Your apple is rotten to the core. Amen? And when you find a rotten apple inside, there's a worm in it. And when Jesus Christ came into my heart, He dewormed me. Amen? Changed my life. But it's all glory to God. It's all glory to God. Amen? I'd get my lawnmower. It set all winter. I got on my riding lawnmower to get it started. Been sitting all winter in the cold and hadn't been running it. I got on it, and it started. Glory to God. Glory to God. All I did was turn the key. Glory to God. God gave that mower some combustibility. And you, God has given you some combustibility. Say, boy, I go to church. I love God. I know God gave you stick-to-ism. I'm glad you keep in church. I'm glad you're serving the Lord. But all glory belongs to God. You know, I'm concerned about people that get so comfortable with their relationship with Jesus Christ that He's no longer awesome, incredible, my Lord and my God. He's your buddy. Jesus is not your buddy. He's your Lord, Master, and Savior. He's not your buddy. And God's not your old man upstairs. He's an awesome, dreadful God. Me and the man upstairs got our own thing going. I think there was a song wrote about that. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. People who love that song, sing that song, they ain't got anything going with Jesus. They're singing deception. It wasn't me and Jesus have our own thing going. It's I've got the Jesus thing going in my life. It has nothing to do with my own thing going. It's His business. Amen. Amen. I'm going to quit. Give God glory. Give God glory. Amen. If something tragic happens to you, something tragic happens to your family, give God glory. It's not the end. Give God glory. It's not over. There's nothing that can happen on this planet or in your life that can rob you of giving God glory, because God is bigger than this existence, and He's bigger than this life. And we give God glory. Amen. Uzziah made a mistake. And Uzziah, when he died, Isaiah was heartbroken. But Isaiah was reminded, I saw a vision. There was a throne high and lifted up. And someone sitting on that throne was not dead. He that sat on that throne was holy, holy. And the seraphim flew around about him declaring, holy, holy, holy. Our God's not dead. He's alive. Amen. Give God glory. Give Him glory. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask musicians, singers to come. I hope you saw some things tonight that maybe you hadn't seen. I hadn't seen the fact that Uzziah's name was Azariah, the same as the priest. It had some bearing in it, I'm sure, of what he did. And I stopped and thought about the fact that he was buried in the field of the kings, but he wasn't buried in the tombs of the kings because he was a leper. You know, when I die, I don't want to die. When I die physically, I don't want to die in reproach. I don't want to die when I die physically on this earth with a bad mark or leprosy spiritually. I want my life to be a life that gives glory to God. Glory to God. Uzziah died being a leper because he did something that followed him to the day of his death. We cannot get lifted up in pride. We must trust the Lord and give God glory. Give God glory. You know, that's the beautiful part about it is there's nothing we can give ourselves glory over. What's beautiful about this whole sermon is you got it made now, because you can always give God glory. What's beautiful about this sermon and this truth is you've got it made. You can always give God glory because He's worthy. Altar's open.